I want to thank everybody that came out for the Christmas Eve service. It was beautiful. It was simple, but the Lord's Spirit was here, and we don't do Santa Claus or stuff like that, and it's just about Jesus. We want to keep it about Jesus. So thank you for everybody who came. Thanks for everybody who hung out afterwards. It was a great time of fellowship. I was just so blessed to see people laughing and carrying on, and it was great. So thank you, and just thank you for a wonderful year. It has been an amazing year at Faith Church. We've grown this year. It is good to see the new faces. We just finished today's last membership class, or finished the last class of the new membership class. And we're excited probably in February to welcome some new members into the church. It's been a little while since we've done that. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in 2022. I believe it's going to be a significant year for our nation. I believe it's going to be a significant year for the church. I believe that we're going to go through some things this year. But we can never lose sight that we serve a great God. We serve a God who is called God Almighty. There's nothing too hard for Him, and there's nothing that He doesn't know about. And I believe that as a church, we're going to have to come together. I got a word in my spirit this past week. It was the word prepare. I don't know what that means. Maybe He's preparing to come back this year. That would be awesome. Or maybe we need to be prepared for being courageous and bold in our faith this year. Got a text from a brother of mine who had a dream last night. It was significant about the persecution of the church and being bold and firm in our faith. And so I don't believe that we're going to see the mark of the beast this year, as I've taught on before. But I believe that is down the road. I believe that the mandates that we're seeing across the world is a precursor to something that's going to be instituted on a global scale by someone known as the Antichrist. I believe that this person is just standing in the wings currently right now. I believe that this person is the one pulling the strings for all the madness that we're seeing throughout the world, not just in this nation, but throughout. And the only thing that is restraining him from coming on the world stage at this very moment is the Bible calls it the restrainer's hand. It's the Holy Spirit. And we, the church, are part of that. And I believe that when the Lord takes the church out of here, that the Antichrist will be free to step onto the world, the platform. He's going to bring in an offering of peace. He's going to come in. That's going to be his platform. He's going to have the solution and the answers for what people are needing and seeking, and people will do anything for the, let's just call it the hand of salvation that he will offer. And I believe that those things are right around the corner. The church, I believe that the church is going to be taken out of here right before he comes on the scene. But there are other people that make a good argument for us being here and being taken out during the middle part of the tribulation, while still others believe that it'll be after the tribulation. Regardless of when it is, we need to be prepared to meet Jesus, all of us. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, because as we come to the end of another year, it is healthy to look back and count our blessings. Go back and count the times that God has been good to us. Look back and make a record of His faithfulness. It's also a good practice to consider some of the mistakes that we've made, so that we don't make them again next year. Look back and kind of pinpoint where the tires fell off of our good intentions. Many people don't do this type of reflection until the very end of their life, when it's too late to remedy poor choices or to fix things about their life that they would have liked to change. I'll never forget visiting a friend of mine in a hospital who had terminal cancer at the time. They believed it was terminal. He had made several poor choices over the course of his life, but he had also done a lot of good things. He pondered his mortality and the legacy that he might be leaving behind him. And as he attempted to balance both the good and bad things on some mental scale, He looked at me and he said, I wish that I had done more for God. I wish that that were my legacy. When our life is over, what is it that we want people to remember us by? What is it that people will say about us that sums up our entire life? Perhaps they'll say he was a generous man. That would be good. Or she was a woman of God. She was a prayer warrior. He was kind and devoted to his family. Or maybe something not so nice. Maybe they'll be unable to say anything nice about us. That would be a tragedy. What do you want people to remember you for being or doing? If 22 were going to be your last year on earth, what will be the legacy that you leave behind? Our legacies are important. I want to talk about leaving the right kind. A good place to find the right kind is, of course, from models in the Bible. And the Bible is filled with stories of great ones and not so great legacies. Today, I want us to look at a few of these legacies, and then we'll finish our study by talking about not only the ones we left behind us last year, but the ones that we'll work toward leaving next year. And then when our final year has happened, what is it? And before jumping into the Bible stories, I want to quickly define what a legacy is in case you've never really thought about it. Legacy comes from the Latin word legare, and it generally is understood to mean the money and property that a person leaves behind in their will. But it is not just tangible things that a person leaves behind. It can also be intangible things like the heritage of character and certain personality traits. We've all heard the expression that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That speaks to leaving a legacy, a personality trait that is tied to someone's legacy. One dictionary put it this way, that the definition of legacy is something that is passed on to you from family, including reputation. The thing about legacies is that you have to leave the right one intentionally, or you may unintentionally leave the wrong one. Because we all leave behind us a legacy of some kind. It's the thing a minister says about us at our funeral. I've talked at many funerals, and it is the legacy that I talk about. Some of them, it's been hard because it wasn't such a good legacy that they left behind. So what do you want to leave behind you when you go? Because we need to be intentional. As we turn to the Bible, let us look at a few legacies that were intentionally left that impacted history. I want to talk about first Moses. You can go ahead and turn over to Exodus chapter 24. We'll read it here in just a moment. Most of us are familiar with Moses. I don't think there's anyone in here who hasn't heard about Moses or at least seen the movie of the Ten Commandments. He is the one who led the Hebrews out of Egypt. He was the kind of person that God needed to lead his people to freedom. But Moses had some character flaws, and the Bible doesn't hide any of them. He killed a man. He questioned the Lord on several occasions. He took a few different wives. He wasn't a very good father, and he was prone to temper tantrums. In fact, one of those tantrums kept him out from seeing the promised land. It would have been very easy for Moses to be unintentional about the legacy he was going to leave. And despite the good things that he did, and they were many, to be remembered for all the bad things he did. But instead, he was intentional to pass on the right kind of legacy so that the next generation of leaders would be successful. And he chose and he mentored Joshua. So now look down at Exodus 24 through 13. See what it says to him. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." It turned out to be a train wreck of a bit. Moses ascended Mount Sinai to talk with God. And he brought young Joshua with him. He wanted to teach Joshua how to interact with God. What is the proper reverence to have God, to have with God? And Joshua witnessed firsthand the power and the shining glory of Yahweh. Moses modeled courage. He modeled humility and the fear of the Lord and obedience. And so when it was time for Joshua to lead Israel across the Jordan to claim the promised land, he knew how to lead. And he led as Moses did in the fear of the Lord, because Moses had taken the time to leave his legacy with Joshua. And here's what it says in Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now Joshua is talking to the Israelites right before they go into the promised land. And we will see the character and the personality trait of Moses within Joshua's words. Here's what he says. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Joshua had been taught to fear the Lord. "Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We sang that song today. Notice the things here that he had gleaned from Moses. He was steadfast in his courage. He was obedient. And he was humble because he feared the Lord. He knew without a doubt that the Lord would be the source of their victories. That is the legacy that Moses left. Now flip over to 1 Kings, just a couple more books over. I want to talk about Elijah for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 19 will be in verses 19 through 21. We'll read that first. "And so he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen," that's Elisha, "left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?'" They remedied that situation. But Elijah is another person who is intentional about leaving a legacy with his protege. Elijah is known in the Bible as the man of God who destroyed the prophets of Baal, who shut up the sky so that it would not rain, the one who made fire come from wet rocks, who multiplied flour and oil for a widow, who parted the waters of the Jordan and even raised the widow's son from the dead, and more. But he is also noted in Scripture as having a massive breakdown in faith. It could have defined him. He fled from the threats of an evil queen, and he went and hid in a cave like some frightened schoolchild. He also was prone to feel sorry for himself. Those things could have been his legacy, but they were not. He became intentional to pass on the right kind of legacy to someone else. He chose a young prophet whom he could mentor to take over his ministry when he was through. And through God's leading, he chose Elisha. And Elisha had some pretty big shoes to fill, didn't he? And Elijah knew it. So Elijah made a great handoff to Elisha. He knew that his earthly life was about to end, so he mentored Elisha every waking moment. to the point where Elisha didn't even want to leave his side until he received Elijah's blessing. Elijah's character was already beginning to pour into Elisha. And Elisha learned many things about God's heart and power. The character of Elijah was working in the character of Elisha. And when Elijah was finally taken up, Elijah's power was transferred by God to Elisha. And as you read his story, we don't have time for that this morning, you'll note that he ended up doing twice as many miracles as Elijah. Now that's a legacy. Even duplicating some of the very miracles that Elijah had performed. And that is mentorship and a great picture of leaving a legacy. And then finally, no mention of leaving a legacy would be complete without mentioning our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Jesus was intentional if he was anything. He hand-selected 12 men to train to carry on his ministry when his time on earth was finished. For 3 years, Jesus taught these 12 men daily. He instructed them in spiritual warfare. He taught them how to have faith in God and to cast out demons and to heal the sick. He taught them how to pray. We have the Lord's Prayer in Scripture, the very prayer that Jesus taught them, still mentoring us this day. And he taught them to love as God loves. Look in John 17, verse 12. I'll give you a second to turn there. Jesus is talking about his mentorship process as he's praying to the Father. He's having a private conversation, referring back to the legacy he was leaving. John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, referring to Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In turn, the legacy that Jesus left was then left by those disciples. And those disciples left a legacy of disciples who went on to change the entire world. So what about us? What kind of legacy are we leaving behind us? Is it good? Does it bring glory to God? A story is told about Jonathan Edwards. Who's heard of Jonathan Edwards? Made most famous by A Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God. Certainly a sermon to scare the fire out of people. And in many, it's what he's most known for. He and his young bride began a pastorate in a small congregation. That's where his ministry began. And during the years that followed, he wrote many sermons, prayers, and books. And he was influential in starting the first Great Awakening in America. But we don't hear much about the legacy that he and his wife left with their children and their prodigy. Together, they produced 11 children who grew into adulthood. Sarah was a partner in her husband's ministry. He included her in that. And he sought her advice regarding sermon and other church matters. And they spent a lot of time talking about the things of the church, talking about the Lord and the ministry. And when their children were old enough, the parents included them in their discussions. The effects of Edwards' life have been far-reaching on even this pastor this morning. But the most measurable results of their faithfulness to God's call are found through their descendants. I want to share just a few things about the legacy that John and Sarah Edwards left. I have it on a slide here. In their descendants, they had 100 lawyers and a dean of a law school. They had 80 holders of public office, 66 physicians and a dean of a medical school, 65 professors of colleges and universities, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, I was convicted this week. I'm like, oh Lord, I've 3 mayors of large cities, 3 governors of states, 3 United States senators, 1 controller of the United States Treasury, and 1 vice president of the United States, all related to John Edwards, all a part of his legacy that he left. What kind of legacy will you leave? This is certainly an unattainable bar for most of us. But who knows what God can do with a simple heart of faithfulness? Will your legacy be lasting? Will it be imperishable and eternal? Or will you leave behind only tangible items, money, buildings, and possessions? Those aren't bad things per se. But the Bible says that even those things grow rust. They get old. They fade away. Perhaps it's the intangible things that we leave that have the most enduring and lasting effect. Looking back on last year, let me ask you just a few personal questions this morning. We don't need a show of hands, certainly. Did you teach and demonstrate for your kids and your grandkids the way that God's economy works? Were you a faithful steward of the things that God has put into your trust? Remember that God owns everything. We're just stewards. In Luke 16:10, Jesus himself says, "He who is faithful with little will be given much." And that's not just talking about money. It's talking about the things in our lives that he has given us stewardship over. I have stewardship over Zachariah. I have stewardship over my marriage. I have stewardship in this church. I have a lot of things under my stewardship, and I'm going to be judged one day on how I handled these things. Let me ask you, this past year, did you enrich someone's life with the fragrance of God? Did you present a picture of sacrificial love to someone, or did you pass on a picture of selfishness? Did you complain your way through 2021, or did you give glory to God in all things because people are watching? God is watching. Did you trust the Lord when fear came a knocking? Did you live in fear, or did you trust the Lord? People are watching. People are watching how we handle these things, and we are leaving a legacy. Again, we can either be intentional or we can be unintentional, but either way, we're leaving a legacy of sorts. Because the way that we handle these things and others speak to the legacy we will leave behind. Did anyone even know that we were a Christian? Could they tell not by our t-shirt and our bumper stickers, but by the way we glorified God in our response to difficult circumstances? Did you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Wives, did you honor your husbands and encourage them? Parents and grandparents, did you make time for your kids and your grandkids? Did you listen more than you talk? Were you mean and crotchety? Or were you gentle and kind, displaying the kindness of Christ? The answers to these questions will determine the legacy that one leaves behind. The answers to these questions will help determine the legacy that we leave behind next year. So as we come to next year, that's just next weekend, we must be intentional about the legacy that we want to leave behind us. Ultimately, will it either glorify God, or will it bring dishonor to him? That's why it's important that we leave a legacy. Because it's an act of worship. Was I intentional about pointing the way to God And if so, it becomes an act of worship as we put God above all other things. His worth is so high in our life that I will live my life such as to leave a legacy that points to God when I go. As you saw in John Edwards' legacy, the legacy that we leave behind can impact for better or worse. So how can we be intentional? Well, we can start by picking someone, anybody, to pour more of Jesus into. Maybe a kid without a father. Fairmount is replete with children without parents. They're just wandering through life. Maybe you could pick one of those kids and say, I'm going to begin mentoring and discipling this kid. I'm going to leave my legacy with this kid. I'm reminded as Shirley picks up the children around the neighborhood and brings them here throughout the week to pour Jesus into them. She's leaving a legacy that's going to outlive her. And prayerfully, the seeds that are being planted will outlive even those children as they pass it on and leave a legacy. Maybe we can be intentional about leaving a legacy with a neighbor. Man, those were the best neighbors I ever had. I'm sorry to see them go. They were so good and they always talked about Jesus. Maybe a coworker. I challenge you to look around. Maybe it's your own children, your spouse, that you need to be intentional about leaving a legacy with. Pray that God would send you somebody, if you can't think of anybody, pray that God would send you someone whom you can leave a legacy with. And another way to be intentional is to think about it every day. Every day. What legacy do I want to leave today? Put a sticker or something going out your door, leading outside. Or a sticker on your door as you come in. What legacy did I leave with others today? Maybe put a reminder on your television set above it. What legacy am I leaving? Is this helping or hurting the legacy that I'm leaving? For some of you, maybe like myself, I need to put it on the refrigerator. What legacy it is that I'm leaving? Is food my God, or is God my God? And I do all things with self-control. Whatever remains of your life, if you're afraid that the legacy you may leave is not so good, I want to encourage you this morning and remind you that it's not too late. If you don't have some dirt and flowers sitting on top of your chest, it's not too late. You can change it, but you've got to be intentional. Start today. We just got through Christmas. And many of us watch the Christmas Carol for the 500th time, right? In all its different versions. Isn't that the point of the story? That Scrooge was given another chance to leave the right kind of legacy. It was revealed to him the legacy that he was in danger of leaving, and that was not the one that he wanted to leave. What is it, the one that we want to leave? It's not too late if you're sitting in here this morning. God loves startovers. He loves startovers. He loves clean slates. I will remember your sins no more as far as the east is from the west. Amen. His mercies are new every morning, Scripture tells us. One of my favorite passages in the Bible I'm reminded of. It's a chance to start over. His mercies are new. Again, if you're here today, you still have a chance to leave a great legacy. It's not too late. But one day, it will be. So don't waste the time that God has given you. Nothing is promised to us but life and death, And strangely, we can also leave both of those behind when we go. I'll say that again as we close. Nothing is promised to us but life and death. But strangely, we can leave behind both of those, one or the other, when we go. We have to be intentional about which one it will be. Will we leave a trail of death behind us? Or will we leave a trail of life behind us? So this week, and maybe even today, ask God what He wants your legacy to be. And then do it. Do it. Every day, let it be at the forefront of your mind and prayers. I would encourage you, everybody's going to be going to lunch today. Ask those around your table, what is it that you would like your legacy to be? This is what I would like my legacy to be. Now, you can be absolutely honest, and that's healthy sometimes. And other times, we might want to coach our words with some love, lots of love, or maybe just refrain until the proper time. Sometimes around the dinner table is not to drop their hammer on somebody's expectations. But it's a great thing to talk about with the family. It's a great thing for a family. Families leave behind legacies. As a family, what is it that you want your family to leave behind, that you want people to remember? So as we approach 2022, I pray that we're not sitting here next year going, tires came off again. Man, I just forgot. I forgot I was supposed to live my life for God and leave a legacy behind me. Let's not do that. Let's celebrate next year saying, yes, I did it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, the legacy that I left behind, if I was to die today, will be one that glorifies God. Amen. Let's stand and pray.